I remember way back in high school when I was sitting in the back row. I don't know if they still do this, but my name is Van Meerbeck, so they put us in the back row. I blame me being in the back row for all my poor grades my whole life. But I'm in the back row in high school, and the teacher is up front, and he's writing on a chalkboard. Children, ask your parents about that. Writing on a chalkboard the homework assignment for the next day, and he said, I want you to make sure you copy what I'm writing here on the chalkboard. I'm not going to go over it, and I'm not going to say it out loud, but I'm going to write it up there. So he writes the homework assignment up on the board, and I'm looking up there going, I cannot see what he is writing. And it wasn't somebody was in the way. It was because it was really blurry. And I'm like looking over to the girl next to me. I said, can you see what he's writing? And she goes, yeah. She goes, maybe you need glasses. I said, let me try yours. So she hands me her glasses, and I put them on, and I went, wow, I didn't know my eyes were that bad. So I was like, that's awesome. So next step was what? Go see the eye doctor and get glasses. So that was what was going on. I needed to have some kind of correction to my eyes because I wasn't seeing well. And that's often the way it is with our spiritual life as well. We sometimes are not seeing the way we're supposed to be seeing. And that's what the Apostle Paul is getting into as we continue our series in 2 Corinthians. So I'd ask you to open up your Bibles. We're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 20. It's found on page 1158 in the Church Bibles. And I would ask you if you would stand with me as our tradition that we may honor Christ and his words. So please stand. This is God's holy, inerrant, life-giving, and life-transforming word. Again, please follow along as I read. This is the word of the Lord. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And Lord, bless the reading and hearing of his holy word. Would you please pray with me? Father God, we come before you and thank you once again for setting aside this day that we might worship you together in spirit and truth. We pray, Lord, you'd help us to have no distractions from the world around us. Lord, help us to be able to focus upon you, and that you would teach us by your spirit. You would open up our eyes and help us to see clearly what you have for us today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As we begin looking at God's word this morning, we're going to first see that changes are needed for our vision. Changes are needed for our vision. Paul describes that before a person has faith in Christ, he is in essence nearsighted. That's me. Before in Christ, we are nearsighted. This is what doctors call myopia. I have this physical condition called myopia. I need to go to the eye doctor to get those corrective lenses. And this physical condition can also be seen as a spiritual condition as well. We're all nearsighted. Matter of fact, before we have faith in Christ, we are spiritually nearsighted, so much so that we're spiritually blind, right? That is where we are. So nearsighted that we are spiritually blind. We are unable to see the truth of our own sinful condition. In fact, many people believe, as you talk to people in the world, they believe that we are born innocent. Yet God's word tells us in Psalm 51, David writes, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. This means that we are born with a sinful nature. This sinful nature has us not only perceive ourselves incorrectly, but we perceive others in the wrong way as well. Paul writes that we recognize others according to the flesh, according to our sinful worldly nature. We view each other and treat each other in sinful ways. And we tend to view people and make judgments about people often by their outward appearances. James wrote about this to the church in James chapter 2, verse 2. He writes, "For if a man comes into your assembly with a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and there also comes in a poor man in dirty clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing fine clothes, and you say, 'Sit here and have this good place,' and then you say to the poor man, 'You sit over there, or sit down here by my footstool,' you have made distinctions among yourselves, and you have become judges with evil motives." In the New Testament, there's other kinds of sinful perceptions that people made towards others. In the Gospel of John, chapter 4, we see this interaction that Jesus has with a Samaritan woman, where Jesus goes up to her and asks her for a drink at the well. And she responds to him saying, "How is it that you, being a Jew," she recognized by his outward appearance that he was a Jew, "asked me for a drink when I am a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." In other words, they're not supposed to be near each other, not supposed to interact. It is said that the reasons for this hostility went back centuries. It was when the Israelites became unequally yoked with unbelieving foreigners, and they became what are called Samaritans, and they tried to combine the worship of the one true God to worship of false gods and idols. Syncretism. These Israelites were taught that the Samaritans were therefore unclean and they were not to be associated with. We also tend to see people and make judgments about people based on the color of their skin, the way they speak, or the political party they may or may not agree with. This is causing all kinds of problems in our world. We see this as trouble and turmoil just continue to mound up. Without Christ, we not only see others through a worldly and sinful lens, we view Jesus through a worldly and sinful lens as well. It is said, looking back before Saul's conversion to Christ, he viewed Jesus as a dangerous imposter and a false prophet and a threat to Judaism. Paul, being Saul back then, was a Pharisee, and he was about to protect the religious Judaism that he was believing in. Others viewed Jesus in a negative way, saying that he was merely a man who came from Nazareth, the son of a carpenter. Who could he be, right? As Jesus was engaging in his earthly ministry, he was accused of being gluttonous because he went to where people ate. And he was accused of being a drunkard because he hung around people who drank. A friend of tax collectors and sinners. He obviously hung around Matthew, who was a tax collector, and called Matthew to be one of his disciples. And when Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" the disciples responded, "Well, some people say that you are John the Baptist, or others say Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Others viewed Jesus as being a good teacher, a prophet, or a healer. There are modern misperceptions about Jesus today as well. There are some who falsely believe that Jesus was actually a myth made up by man. That's hard, right? That's not even remotely true. There's too much history to show that he was really a man. But there are others who argue that he was merely a spirit and not really in the flesh, thus denying that he was Jesus as fully God and fully man. Then there's the cult of the Jehovah's Witnesses who believe that Jesus was created thus denying that Jesus is the second person of our triune God. Also, Muslims, they believe that Jesus was one of many prophets. Others believe that Jesus was a good man and a moral teacher. But all of these beliefs about Jesus are false perceptions because they're coming through a worldly and sinful lens. And changes are needed not only in our vision and how we perceive Christ and how we perceive others, but Paul shows his story about his vision and how he was changed on that day on the road to Damascus, right? He had the perception about Jesus that he and his followers were enemies of Judaism. But Jesus, what did he do about Paul's false vision? He blinded Paul so that he could truly see spiritually. That is what it takes for people. We needed to be blinded by God so that we can truly see. And it was then Christ who corrected Paul's vision. And Paul then began to proclaim that Jesus was the Son of God, that Jesus was the promised Messiah and Savior. And that radical change that took place in Paul's life is the same radical change that needs to take place in each and every one of our lives. When Christ gives us faith to believe and trust in him alone for salvation, we need to truly see Christ for who he really is. He is not just a myth, or he is not just a prophet, or just a good teacher, or just a healer. After Christ corrects our vision, we begin to see things differently. After Christ corrects our vision, we begin to see things differently. The same is true when I had the glasses put on. I was able to see things clearer, right? Well, when Jesus did that for us, we see that Jesus was not merely a man, that Jesus, God the Son, came from heaven to this earth, and he lived a perfect and sinless life. We look at God's word and we begin to understand the truth. We see that he not only lived a perfect life, but that he died. He willingly died on the cross for our sin and then rose from the dead, conquering sin and death and the devil for us. We now view Jesus alone as being one who can be trusted and followed and fully obeyed. He is alone to be worthy of our worship. When we place our faith and trust in Christ alone, it is then that we become united in Christ, in his life, his death, and his resurrection. And that is what Paul means when he says in our passage, therefore, if anyone is in Christ. Jesse was talking to the kids. Are you in Christ? That's a question for you. When we are therefore in Christ, he not only changes our vision, but Christ changes our entire lives. When we are in Christ, Christ changes our entire lives. Paul says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new creation. He is a new creation. The old things have passed away. The old things have passed away. And those old things start with our old hearts, right? The prophet Ezekiel talks about God removing our heart of stone. That is what's necessary. This is what God does when he makes us a new creature, a new creation. This picture of having a sinful, hardened heart is opposed to God and his ways. Medically speaking, when we have this physical hardening or stiffening of the heart is known as hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. It's something that my older brother has, my younger brother had. It's something, stiff heart syndrome, which can lead to chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, and even potential heart failure. But this may need a person who has this, they may need a heart transplant. But with Jesus, we see this spiritually. He is our spiritual cardiologist. We need him to remove our old hardened heart and make way for a new heart that he gives us. When Christ changes our lives, he removes our old heart. And this means removing what? The things that come out of our hearts. Our sinful thoughts come out of our hearts. The sinful thoughts of lust and anger and jealousy and covetous and more. Go through the Ten Commandments. For out of the overflow of the heart come evil thoughts, which then flow out into our speech. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, but I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they will give an account for it on the day of judgment. Jesus is telling us that for every careless word that people speak, we will give an account of it on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Sinful words come from our heart and through our thoughts and out of our mouths. And they involve sins of gossip and slander. And sometimes we hide those sins of gossip and slander in a prayer request. You go to your friend. We need to be praying for you know who, because they're doing you know what, right? Other times we speak falsely about others, outright lying about things. Sometimes we use angry and harsh words. Other times our words are words of complaining and grumbling. As Jesse was telling the kids, when we are made new creatures, our lives are different. When we are in Christ, he tells us that those old things, those old ways of thinking, those old ways of speaking are to be passed away. They go away. In Galatians 2, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live. When we are in Christ, we are crucified with Christ, and we can say, then that person, that old self, is no longer living. Our sinful hearts, thoughts, words, and actions have all been crucified with Christ, and they are forgiven in Christ. When Christ changes our lives, the old things have passed away. The old things pass away from God's perspective as well. God no longer counts your sins against you when you are united to Christ. Amen? Amen, right? He removes our sin and its guilt as far as the east is from the west. You know, we had the guys head up to the moon. Can you imagine? I'm going to separate your sin as far as the earth is from the moon. Well, that's a distance, right? That's a lot of distance, but not as far as the east is from the west. Removing our sins as far as the east is from the west is eternal. And that is what God does through us, through Christ. Paul continues in verse 17 saying, behold, new things have come. The old things have gone, but behold, new things have come. Christ gives you a new heart, which means he's giving you the ability to have new thoughts and new words and new attitudes. Instead of grumbling and complaining, you are able to now be giving praises and gratitude and joy to the Lord. Instead of words of anger, should come out words seeking forgiveness and reconciliation. Instead of speaking lies, we should be speaking the truth of the gospel to those around us. Instead of living our lives for ourselves, we begin living our lives for Christ by serving him with all of the time that he has given to us, all the talents, all of our treasure that he has given to us for his kingdom. Christ is changing us and is making us new, making us into his image, and gives us a whole new life. Amen. In the Gospel of John, there's a story about a man by the name of Nicodemus. In some ways, he was like Saul. He was a Pharisee, and he came to Jesus at night. Maybe he was ashamed. He didn't want other people to see that he was going to go speak to Jesus. And he had a respect for Jesus. He went up to Jesus, and he called him Rabbi. He knew that he was a good teacher. He says, in fact, he writes, we know that you have come from God as a teacher. So he respected Jesus. But Nicodemus, his spiritual vision wasn't good. He didn't truly understand who Jesus was. And he thought Jesus was a good teacher, perhaps as a prophet from God. And Jesus shared with Nicodemus a problem that people have with their vision. Jesus stated, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Talking about our vision, Jesus was saying that in order to see and enter into the kingdom of God, a person needs to be born again. Nicodemus was thinking according to the flesh, and he's going, what are you talking about, Jesus? How can a man be born when he is old? How can, you can just see, what, you're crazy, Jesus. How can a person be entering into his mother's womb and be born again? And that's impossible. Jesus responded, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Whoever believes in Jesus will have eternal life, a new life, be born again. Jesus was declaring that we are given a brand new life when we believe and trust in Jesus. Perhaps you're thinking about your sinful past. It is in your past. Jesus has forgiven you of that. This process by which God gives us a new life is the act of regeneration by the Holy Spirit, where we are born again. This is where we are united to Christ and become his new creation, a new creation with a new identity, a new hope, a new purpose, a new family with new relationships. As a new creation, we can now have an earthly, heavenly Father who is perfect and cares for us. Jesus, our Savior and Lord, and the Holy Spirit as our helper and counselor. And God provides us with new relationships with each other, blessing us with many, many brothers and sisters in Christ. In all this, we see that God reconciles people to himself. Paul's talking about that here. God reconciles people to himself. The reason that God reconciles people to himself is that we have become separated from God ourselves because of our sin. In Isaiah 59, verse 2, it says, our iniquities have made us a separation between us and God. It is our sin that separates us from God. Our sins have hidden his face from us, from him. Because of our sin, we are the ones who have broken that relationship with God. And there's nothing that we are able to do to restore that relationship with God. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul describes our sinful condition, saying we have alienated ourselves because of the hostility of the minds and our evil deeds. For God is a holy God, and he cannot have sin in his presence. However, we were once God's enemies, and God reconciles us to himself through Christ. Romans 5, verse 10 says, for while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of Jesus, God the Son. We see that we are reconciled through Christ. God does this through Christ. We are reconciled through Christ. One theologian defines this term reconciliation as God's gracious restoration of a broken relationship between God and his people through the substitutionary work of Jesus in his life, death, and resurrection. Christ is the one who reconciles us by changing us from being enemies of God, which we are naturally born, to being friends and being part of the family of God. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, reminding of who they were before Christ and what Christ had done for them. He wrote, therefore, remember that at one time you were unbelieving Gentiles who were separated from Christ, alienated and strangers of the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he has come, he has become our peace. He has broken down the dividing wall of hostility. He has changed our status. We are no longer strangers and aliens, but we are fellow citizens of the household of God. And not only does Paul explain to the church that God has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, we are now given this ministry of reconciliation. We are given a ministry of reconciliation. If you have been reconciled in Christ, being changed and being given a new life through faith in Christ, then God has entrusted you with the ministry of reconciliation. We have been chosen, we've been called, we have been commissioned by God to become his ambassadors. We become his ambassadors. Maybe you think about ambassadors in the United States. They are chosen people, even throughout the world. People have ambassadors in other countries who represent their countries in another foreign land. And the United States, for instance, has ambassadors in over 180 different countries in the world. And this is similar to what God has done for us. When God makes us his ambassadors, we represent his kingdom, the kingdom of God, to a lost and sinful world, a world where people are alienated and hostile enemies of God. And God calls us to be his ambassadors, to be active in the ministry of reconciliation. It's really important now to note that we are not the ones who are reconciling to others, right? We have no ability to reconcile others to God, but we know the one who can reconcile them by placing their faith and trust in Christ alone. The Apostle Paul describes how God is making his appeal to us by saying, "We beg you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God." We beg you. There's a sense of urgency because people are dying and going to hell because they are not reconciled through faith in Christ. And that's this sense of urgency. God is giving us this ministry of reconciliation to show people that Jesus came from heaven. He lived a perfect and sinless life. He died on the cross to take our sins upon himself. He did this so that we might become the righteousness of God. The question this morning for you is, have you been reconciled to God through faith in Christ? Have you been reconciled to God through faith in Christ? Have you had your life changed by Christ and been given a new life? This is important that you share this with your family, your friends, your neighbors. We're going to be singing a song in a moment before we take the Lord's Supper together, and that's for believers, and it's called "O Come to the Altar." The lyrics ask, "Are you hurting and broken within? Are you overwhelmed by the weight of your sin?" Jesus is calling. He is calling each and every one of us to repent and place our faith and trust in Christ, because forgiveness is found in the precious blood of Christ. Are you trusting in Jesus? If you are, you've been given a new life. You've been changed. Your past is gone. You've been given a new life. We can leave behind all those old things and trade our sorrows in for joy because of what Christ has done, as he has given you new life. Only through faith in Christ can we have our sins forgiven, be reconciled to God, and be given this new ministry of reconciliation in him. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We praise you for what you have done in the life of Paul, and that you have shared his testimony with us. And we have seen the effects of this change in his life as he has shared this with the church in Corinth, and as we have had people share the gospel with us. We pray, Lord, that we would, if we're here today and we have not been reconciled to God, that we would do that through faith in Christ. If so, we would help us to recognize that we have our old life put aside. Our sins have gone, they've passed, and we have been given a new life in Christ because of what he's done for us. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.